present Brothers-in-Law by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson, starring Richard Briers with John Glyn Jones, Julia Lockwood, Bridget Armstrong, Robert Dorning, and Bill Wallace. Episode 6, Circling the Square.
Come in, come in.
Oh, good afternoon, Grimes.
That's right, my dear sir. It is. Marvelous afternoon. Come along in, my dear fellow. Come along in. What can I do for you?
Well, I don't want to disturb you if you're busy.
Well, I'm not very busy today, my dear fellow. We've got 6 briefs to read and 2 opinions. Was it 7 and 3? I don't know.
I'll never be able to do it.
What's that, my dear fella?
Read 6 briefs at the same time.
Well, you can't read them all at the same time, my dear sir. Read it one after the other.
Well, I know, but I'll never be able to remember them all afterwards. I get them all muddled up. How on earth do you do it?
Practice, my dear fella. Years of practice. You'll come to it in time. You have patience, my dear sir. Be patience and hard work. Keeping you busy, are they?
Well, not as busy as I'd like, but actually I'm supposed to be doing a case tomorrow.
Oh, I am, my dear fellow. I'm really glad to hear that.
Well, I only got it because someone else dropped out. I'm not sure I ought to be doing it at all. I wanted to ask you about it. You see, it's this arbitration.
Oh, it's no difficulty there, my dear fellow. When 2 parties don't want a case heard in public, be a judge. They have it tried in private, be an arbitrator, usually a barrister.
Yeah, well, I know all that.
Well, I'm really glad to hear it, my dear fellow. What's the problem, then?
But in this case, you're the arbitrator.
Am I indeed? Well, is that a fact?
Well, don't you remember? It's a case between an author and a publisher about a book that may or may not be obscene.
Nasty. I don't care for that sort of thing, my dear fella.
I don't care for it myself much. That's the case, and you're the arbitrator.
Well, if that's so, my dear fella, you really oughtn't be talking about it now. You tell me the tale tomorrow.
But that's the whole point, Grimes. Can I appear in front of you?
Well, why not, my dear fella? Don't you feel up to it?
No. I mean, won't the other side object to me? You're the arbitrator, and I'm in your chambers.
Well, they won't mind that, my dear fellow. You do your best for your client. The other fellow will do his best for his. And I'll do my best to decide fairly between the 2 of you. That's all there is to it, my dear fellow. That's the legal profession in a nutshell.
Oh, well, if you say it's all right, I'd better go and read that book.
That's the way, my dear fellow, you do your homework. No canoodling tonight. Bye-bye, my dear sir. It's been very good of you to look in. Bye-bye.
Joy, what are you doing here?
Waiting for you, darling.
Well, how'd you get in? I didn't give you a key, did I? No. Even I wouldn't have done a stupid thing like that. Or could I?
You could, but you haven't yet, unfortunately. Still, you left the door on the latch for me, which comes to the same thing.
But it wasn't for you.
Someone else.
Well, never mind anyone else. I just slipped out for a moment to get myself a packet of fish fingers and left the door unlocked. But it wasn't meant to be an invitation to all sundry to walk in.
But you were expecting me, weren't you?
Not this evening.
Today's Friday, isn't it?
No, it's Wednesday.
Oh, well, never mind, darling. I'm here now.
Here 1 minute, gone the next.
Darling, you're not going to throw me out.
Yes, I am.
Come on, then. You'll have to pick me up first.
No. You know what'll happen if I touch you.
Bliss. Touch me, darling.
No.
Then keep still and I'll touch you.
Don't do it. You wait. Look, not tonight, Joy.
Darling Roger.
Darling Joy.
You won't send me away, will you?
How could I?
You couldn't.
Yes, I could. Joy, go away.
You are expecting someone else. This is Sally. It's Wednesday, her night.
It's not anyone's night. I've got a lot of reading to do.
Oh, I see. It's your night for curling up on the sofa with a good book.
If you like. Except I wouldn't call it a good book.
I would, if you mean this one.
Joy, you haven't read it.
Started it? Why don't we curl up on the sofa together and finish it?
Good Lord, you mustn't look at it. Give it to me at once.
Well, you're going to read it, aren't you?
That's different.
Why? Because you're a man.
Sex has nothing to do with it.
It had everything to do with the bit I read.
You shouldn't have read any of it.
Roger, are you trying to save me from being turned into a loose woman?
No, Joy. It's too late for that.
Well, Why all the fuss, then?
Look, as far as I'm concerned, you can read anything you like except that one book.
Oh, darling, it must be a fizzer.
Oh, what? Frankly, I wouldn't know. I haven't read it myself yet.
All right, my sweet. If you won't let me have it, read it aloud to me. That might be even more fun.
Fun? I'm not reading it for fun. I'm reading it because it's part of my work.
Yes, darling. Like marriage guidance counselors reading the Kama Sutra.
They don't. Do they?
You've got to know your subject before you can talk about it, haven't you?
Exactly what I've been trying to say. So please go, Joy, and leave me to my deplorable studies.
You really mean it?
I absolutely really mean it.
All right, darling. It's my fault, I suppose, for turning up on the wrong night. I'd no idea you were so kinky.
Kinky? Me?
Well, wouldn't you call it that? Spending every Wednesday night all alone wallowing in sexy books.
I don't. Not every Wednesday.
Just when the moon is full.
The moon? Joy, we're not getting anywhere.
Well, we'd get somewhere if we curled up on the sofa together, with or without the book.
If we did, it would be without.
All right, Roger, I'll settle for that.
No, you won't. Look, I've got to read the beastly thing. Joy, will you go quietly or won't you?
And, if I say no?
Then you're a trespasser.
And you can eject me by force.
Using only as much force as is necessary.
How much is that?
It depends how much you resist.
Have you ever known me resist you, darling?
Never, thank goodness. But this time you must. I mean, you mustn't. What I mean is, look, you must go.
All right, Roger. I won't tease you anymore. See you tomorrow.
Right. No, 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 not tomorrow. Friday.
If you insist. And have a lovely evening with your nasty book.
Good grief. It's filthy. That's impossible. Oh, no, really, that's a bit too strong.
Talking to yourself, Roger.
What? Oh, Sally, how did you get in?
You left the door open. You were expecting me, weren't you?
Well, of course I was. I left the door open.
Or was it for someone else?
No, not this evening. Look, darling, it's really marvellous to see you come in. You're like a breath of fresh air.
Am I? How sweet. But the air seems fresh enough.
You wouldn't think so if you'd been reading this book.
Oh, that's what you were muttering about.
It's enough to make anyone mutter. It's disgusting.
Oh, it's porn, is it?
Porn?
Ography.
Well, frankly, as to that, whether it's legally obscene or not is still a matter of opinion.
What do you think?
I think it's absolutely filthy.
Mm. Let me have a look, see what I think.
Certainly not. I wouldn't dream of showing it to you.
Oh, Roger, this is the 20th century. I'm not a Victorian virgin.
I know you're not. You're a...
Never mind what I am. Give me that book. And don't be such an old square.
Sally, I'm not. At least I'm not an old square. I'm maybe a young square, but come to think of it, I suppose I am. Is that why you won't marry me?
Who said I wouldn't?
You did. At least you didn't say you would. Was it because you despised me for being square?
No, darling. I think it's rather quaint and appealing. I'm a bit rectangular myself.
Are you? Then we'd be marvellous together.
Not necessarily. People often go better with their opposites. Like you with Joy, for instance.
Well, what's she got to do with it?
Well, you should know, Roger. But I wouldn't say she was a Victorian virgin either, would you?
Certainly not. She's not a... Look, never mind. For heaven's sake, what's it matter what she's not?
Not a square, anyway. Or even a rectangle.
No, more a sort of, circle.
Well, there you are, then.
Am I? Well?
Roger, isn't it obvious?
I expect so, but not to me.
You and Joy are different.
I'll say we are.
So, you could do things with her you couldn't do with me.
Who told you? No, I couldn't. I mean, anything she could do, you could do better.
Darling, I do wish you'd stick to the point.
So do I. What is the point?
The book, Roger.
What book? Oh, yes, the porn.
Or not porn, as the case may be. You won't show it to me, but if it was Joy, you'd let her see it.
Oh, no, I wouldn't.
Roger.
Oh, not that I care if she read it from cover to cover and wallowed in it, but I wouldn't let her see it. I wouldn't let anyone see it.
That's rather childish, isn't it? Anyone who really wanted to read it could buy a copy for themselves.
Oh, no, they blooming couldn't.
Why not? You did?
No, no, no. This is only a proof copy. It's not published yet, and the chances are it won't be.
Well, it's got as far as a proof copy.
Yeah, but the head man of the publishers has only just seen it, and he won't stand for it. I'm afraid he's a bit of a square.
Judging by the way you were muttering, maybe it's just as well he changed his mind.
Ah, but I'm not sure he can.
Anyone's entitled to do that, surely.
Not if there's a contract, and in this case, there is.
With the author, you mean?
Yes. The publisher had contracted to publish his next novel, and this is it. The dispute's going to arbitration.
The dispute between the author and the publisher?
Yes.
And that's why you're reading the book?
Yes.
Because you're appearing for the publishers?
No, for the author.
Rotter! You can't possibly.
Why not?
The author of this filth?
This so-called filth.
You think it is?
What's that got to do with it?
Well, everything, I should have thought. How can you possibly defend this man?
I'm not. He's the plaintiff. At least I think it's called plaintiff in an arbitration case. I must remember to look it up.
Never mind what it's called. It comes to the same thing as far as you're concerned. You really think the publishers are right, don't you?
Well, I haven't finished reading the book yet, but...
But you've read enough.
More enough.
And yet you're on the author's side. Why on earth did you take the case?
Look, I was jolly lucky to get it. It was only because another chap who was going to do it dropped out at the last minute.
How could you possibly make a convincing case for something you believe to be wrong?
But we've had all this before. It doesn't matter what I believe.
Oh, I know. You've still got to do the best for your client. But it must make a difference to what you say. Or at any rate, how you say it.
We shouldn't. Cases are tried by judges and juries, not by barristers. I think my client's a villain, but I may be wrong.
All the same, you've got to tell the judge he's not. And if you don't believe it, how can you put your back into it?
Well, you've got to be a bit of an actor, of course.
Do you think you're any good as an actor, Roger?
Not very, not yet, anyway. But if I watch Grimes long enough, I may be one day. Now, there's a man who would put his heart into everything. Anything. He's a great man. A great man, sir. He'll be a judge himself one day. As a matter of fact, he's acting as a sort of judge tomorrow.
How can he?
Well, you see, when the two parties agree they don't want a case heard in public by a judge, they can have it tried in private by an arbitrator, and they usually choose a barrister. These people chose Grimes.
You're not talking about the filthy bookcase.
It's not a bookcase. Oh, it says what to me. Sorry. You mean the case of the filthy book? Yes.
But you're in his chambers. If he's going to be a judge, you can't be on one of the counsel, surely.
Well, you wouldn't think so, would you?
Certainly wouldn't if I was for the other side.
Oh, they don't mind. That's the legal profession for you.
Come and see me tomorrow evening and let me know who's won.
No, don't go yet, Sally.
I must. You've got to finish your obscene book.
Now, look, you mustn't call it obscene.
Why not?
Unless you can prove it has a tendency to deprave and corrupt.
It'll be interesting to see if it depraves and corrupts you.
What? Ridiculous. Take more than a book to do that.
What would it take?
I don't know.
A person? Could I do it?
She wouldn't even try.
Could Joy?
That's different. No, it isn't. No. She wouldn't try either. And if she did, she wouldn't. I mean, she couldn't. I mean, she wouldn't succeed because she couldn't.
All right, Roger. You're the sea green incorruptible.
Well, I think I have been so far.
Then please keep it that way. There's one thing I can't stand. It's men who scatter four-letter words all over the place. Bye now, darling. And I hope the right side wins.
Now, will you tell me what this is all about, Mr. Thursby?
What do I call him?
Sir.
May it please you, sir, I appear for the plaintiff in this case.
Applicant.
What? May it please you, sir, I appear for the applicant in this case, and my learned friend, Mr. Denton, appears for the defendants.
Respondents.
My learned friend, Mr. Denton, appears for the respondents.
Thank you, Mr. Thursby. You've made everything clear so far. Please go on.
Well, thank you, sir. Now, this is a claim by Mr. Grantworthy, the well-known author, for damages against certain publishers, Messrs. Greenbank and Company, for repudiating an agreement to publish a book.
Forgive me, Mr. Thursby. Would you tell me some of your client's work? My memory for names isn't as good as it was.
His best-known work, the one that you're most likely to have heard of, is The Green...
Hmm? Oh, The Green, yes, a golfing yarn, perhaps, yes. Really, I haven't heard of it, but then I don't play golf.
No, Your Honour, my Lord. I mean, sir, the green is an adjective.
Well, that's a funny title, Mr. Thursby. I suppose it's in keeping with a new idea. The green is an adjective. Yes. Well, I rather like it. The green is an adjective.
No, sir... Sir, that isn't actually the title, sir.
Well, then why on earth did you say it was, Mr. Thursby?
I didn't, sir. At least, I didn't mean to.
Well, what did you mean to say then?
The word green is an adjective.
Ah, that's an even funnier title.
No, sir, it's not the title, sir. It's a fact.
Mr. Thursby, are you trying to tell me that it's a fact that the word green is an adjective?
Yes, sir.
Why?
I don't know, sir. I just know it is an adjective.
Why are you telling me?
What? I thought you wanted to know, sir.
I'm much obliged to you, Mr. Thursby, but we shall get on a great deal quicker if you'll assume I am already acquainted with the simpler parts of speech.
You've got me wrong, sir.
Again, Mr. Thursby?
What I was trying to explain, sir, was about the title of this book. In the title, there are three words. The, definite article, green, adjective, and another word.
A noun, I take it.
Right, sir, yes, absolutely right. Well, I suppose you could call it a noun. I mean, it's more of a slang noun, a depraved noun, you might call it.
Well, I might, Mr. Thursby, if I knew what it was.
It's not a very nice word, sir.
Nasty.
I wouldn't go so far as that, sir. Indelicate, perhaps, a bit rude.
All right, Mr. Thursby. What is the word?
Basket, sir. But, it's spelled, Your Honor, B-A-S-T-A-R-D, I'm afraid.
Nasty.
I said it wasn't very nice, sir.
But anyway, why green?
It may help you, sir, if I remind you and Mr. Thursby that this case is not about that book.
Very good of you, Mr. Daly. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad to hear it. What is this case about?
After the success of The Green So-and-So, the publishers commissioned my client to write another novel. This was to be called Circling the Square.
Yeah, I like that title much better. Yes, that's quite a nice title. I suppose it could be interpreted as making rings round me.
Well, anyway, sir, my client wrote the book, and now the publishers are refusing to publish it.
On what grounds?
Well, I'm afraid, sir, they said that Circling the Square was obscene.
Obscene? Nasty? Is it?
In my submission, no, sir.
Hey, Mr. Denton, you say it is.
Most obscene, sir. You will be horrified.
I suppose this means I've got to read the book.
Well, you may not have to read all the books, sir. I mean, my learned friend is relying on certain passages and certain words.
Words?
Yes, sir.
But like the green so-and-so?
Worse, sir.
Worse, Mr. Denton?
Certainly, sir.
Mr. Thursby, do you agree that the words complained of by Mr. Denton are worse than the green so-and-so?
My submission is that the publishers ought to have published the book.
But are the words worse than the title I mentioned?
Well, that's a matter of opinion, sir, and I understand that I am not allowed to give my opinion.
You're quite right, Mr. Thursby. Now, that's a very good answer. I shouldn't have asked you. Are there words you would use yourself, Mr. Thursby?
Should you have asked me that, sir?
No. No, I suppose not. Well, have you heard me use the word?
No, sir.
Yes. Say you don't know what he says in his private life.
I don't like to.
Say it all the same.
But, of course, I don't know what you say in your private life.
No, you don't, do you, Mr. Thursby? No. Well, now we know what the case is all about. All I've got to do is read the book.
Hmm? Well, I'm calling one witness. I'm calling an eminent novelist and critic, whom you will no doubt know by repute, sir, Mr. Jonathan Porter Tooth, and he will say to you, sir, that in his opinion the book is not obscene. The words complained of are properly used in their context. One other thing I ought to tell you, sir, is that it's already been published in America. In fact, it came from there.
That does not surprise me.
Now, sir, I don't know what course you would like me to take. Would you like to read the book first, and then I'll call my witness, or would you like to me to call my witness first?
What a pity you didn't send me the book before. It'll take me several hours to read it. You'd better call your witness, and I'll read the book tonight. And if I think of any questions I want to ask after reading it, I will just ask them in the morning.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Porter Tooth, will you please come forward, sir?
Mr. Jonathan Porter Tooth?
Yes, sir. I should like to affirm.
Oh, very well, then. Would you repeat after me? I, Jonathan Porter Tooth.
I, Jonathan Porter Tooth.
Do solemnly, sincerely, and truly declare and affirm.
Do solemnly, sincerely, and truly declare and affirm.
That the evidence I shall give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Evidence I shall give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Porter Tooth. Thank you. Please sit down.
Mr. Porter Tooth, you're a well-known novelist and critic. How many novels have you written?
About 50.
Yes, and have you written criticisms of books for all the best-known literary papers?
for most of them.
May I ask what your last novel was called?
Stand, but don't deliver.
I don't think I've had the pleasure of reading it.
You wouldn't, sir. It hasn't been published yet.
Well, what is the name of your last published novel?
The Muckle.
The what?
The Muckle.
Sir, what many a mickle makes, sir.
I know about that, Mr. Thursby, but I've never yet heard of a muckle without a mickle. Have you?
Well, I haven't read Mr. Portertooth's book. If I have, I expect I'd know all about muckles.
You wouldn't, you know. The title is purely allegorical.
You mean there are no muckles in the book, whatever?
No.
Were there any so-and-sos in the green so-and-so?
There were three, sir.
Three were there? And whose fault was that?
It was entirely the fault of a Mr. MacTavish, the hero.
Hero?
But you'd have to read the book to find out why.
Well, one of those books will be sufficient for me at the moment, thank you.
And now, Mr. Portertooth, what do you say about searching the square? Is it, in your view, obscene?
It is not obscene either in whole or in parts.
Are there words in it which you do not use yourself?
There are words in it which I habitually use myself.
But of course, Mr. Portertooth, I mean, there are these and buts and so's in it. I wasn't referring to words like that.
Nor was I, Mr. Thursby.
I'd better see some of these words, Mr. Thursby. Could I have a copy of the book?
Oh, of course, yes. I'll hand you one. Thank you. Now, sir, if you look at page 14, line 3, you will see one of the words of which the publishers complain.
Yes, yes, yes. Line 3. Let me see. You spell it like that, Mr. Thursby.
I don't spell it at all.
Great dropper. But would you, if you had to?
Yes, sir. Just the four letters.
But does it occur again in the book?
253 times, sir.
153? And how many pages has the book... 450. That means it occurs on every other page. Well, we shall call it Tush.
I'm sorry, sir. What did you say?
I said Tush, Mr. Thursby. I take it this word will be mentioned very frequently in this case.
I'm afraid so.
Yes, well then, for the purposes of this case, we will take a leaf out of my Aunt Matilda's book.
Your aunt, sir?
Accurate, she was my great aunt. She had an excellent rule in life, Mr. Thursby. If ever she was provoked to use a four-letter word, not this kind of word, you understand, but damn or even blast, she always substituted the word tush. And I think we should do the same.
I quite agree, sir.
Mr. Denton?
Yes, certainly, sir. Yeah.
Now then, Mr. Portertooth, do you say that this word tush is not obscene?
Certainly not, sir. As I understand it, obscenity means writing or saying something which might deprave or corrupt somebody. Have you been depraved or corrupted, sir?
How dare you, Mr. Porter!
I'm sorry, sir, but I was told you served in the army in the last war.
Well, I had that honor.
You must have heard that word thousands of times.
If not millions. I still didn't know how it was spelt.
With respect, sir, it didn't corrupt you, sir. Or depraved.
Well, certainly not, Mr. Thursby, but in my view, it's disgusting to print such words in a book.
Yeah, yeah. But disgusting isn't the same as obscene, sir.
It's filthy, isn't that enough?
No, sir, with respect. It's not enough for a word or a phrase or a book to be indecent unless it's also calculated to deprave or corrupt somebody who might read it.
Mr. Denton, do you agree that this is the law?
It appears so, sir.
Then you agree that you weren't entitled to reject the book just because of the tushies?
Possibly not because of the words themselves, but my clients claim that the context in which some of these words are used makes the whole passage obscene.
Well, Mr. Thursby, we'd better continue with the book. Do you mind if I ask the witness a question, Mr. Thursby?
Of course not.
Would you show this book to your young daughter?
Certainly not, sir.
Why not?
Because I don't want to teach her bad language. Not because she might be corrupted.
Is not the use of bad language by itself a form of corruption?
Not in the least, sir. There are some very decent young men who, when they're by themselves, use tush almost every other word. But they don't use it when they're with women. And I'd be prepared to trust my daughter with most of them.
Whatever the law may be, don't you think disgusting and indecent books ought to be forbidden?
You don't have to read them, sir.
Until you start to read them, you don't know what's in them. What do you say, Mr. Thursby? Do you not think that disgusting and indecent books ought to be forbidden?
Well, if you ask me personally, yes, I do.
Then you agree that your client has written an indecent and disgusting book?
Say no. No, sir.
Well, you say no, do you, Mr. Thursby? Do you not think tush is an indecent word?
Say no. Well, Your Honor, sir, does it matter what I think?
Well, I'd be glad if you'd answer.
Say no. My instructions are to say no.
So your client doesn't think it indecent or disgusting to use tush over 200 times in one book?
But it's not obscene within the meaning of the law.
And then the law ought to be changed. Is that all you want to ask the witness, Mr. Thursby?
Yes, sir.
Very well. Mr. Denton, perhaps you'd like to cross-examine?
If you please, sir. Now, Mr. Portertooth, will you look at page 127? You will see there that a young man takes a girl into a field.
I see it, sir.
And not to pick mushrooms.
It's all buttercups, you daisy.
No, indeed, sir. Nor to look for green baskets.
Well, may not another... may not another young man who reads that passage want to take a young girl into a field likewise?
He may want to do that whether he reads the passage or not. You will neither stop young men taking young women into fields by books, nor make them do so by books.
But isn't it likely that the young man reading this passage may say to himself, I'd like to do that?
Same might be said of any passage in any book where there was lovemaking. Even the Victorian novels, which Your Honor has no doubt read. You can't lock up all the girls who walk down Bond Street because the sight of their legs may inflame young men.
They inflame older men too, Mr. Port.
No doubt, sir. I'm prepared to admit that they've inflamed me. But the use of the word tush or tushing in a book doesn't inflame me in the least. If you ask me, sir, it doesn't inflame anyone in this court. Does it inflame you, Mr. Denton?
I don't think you should ask counsel questions.
I don't mind answering, sir. No, it doesn't. You say, Mr. Portertooth, that this book is not obscene, but you agree that some people could reasonably think that it is disgusting or indecent or both?
I think that's a fair way of putting it.
That's all I wish to ask. Thank you, Mr. Portertooth.
Thank you, Mr. Portertooth.
Thank you, Mr. Portertooth.
Yes. When we've all finished thanking Mr. Portertooth... What do you say, Mr. Denton?
I say this quite simply. Let us assume that this book is not obscene.
It is, admittedly, disgusting...
Roger, darling, I've been on tenterhooks. Tell me everything. How did it go?
Well, give me a chance, Sally. Let me get inside the flat. Ow!
Roger!
I tripped over that tushing rug and twisted my tushing ankle. Sally! Sally, what have I said? You were right, Sally. Absolutely right. I have been depraved and corrupted. Oh, tush, tush, what a clumsy tusher I am!
In that episode of Brothers-in-Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Briers, Grimes, John Glyn Jones, Sally, Julia Lockwood, Joy, Bridget Armstrong, Portertooth, Robert Dorning, Denton, Bill Wallace, everyone else, Douglas Blackwell. Circling the Square was written by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson. The program was produced by David Hatch. Thank you.